What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to Marriage Mondays here on the Gravity Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Chris.
And I'm your other host, Jamie. And today we're going to talk about deconstructing communication.
That's right, folks. I don't know if you've been listening for any amount of time, you've probably heard us talk about communication. We had a standalone Marriage Monday episode way back on episode 7, eons ago, talking about this. And in the last 6 months or so, Jamie and I realized that we had room for growth in this area. I don't know, Jamie, what do you think? Do we give us a shot?
Absolutely. Here we go. So as we knocked around which thing we wanted to talk about today, communication is just this underlying tone in everything we do. In conflict, in success, in dates, communication just reverberates through it all. So we thought we would talk to you about being open to new styles of communication.
That's the tough thing. When you think you're good at something, or maybe when you are good at something, it's hard to sometimes get some feedback on that. It's hard for someone to come alongside of you and say, hey, you're good, but you're not great. I had an experience in going from military to different law enforcement agencies in the Air Force. I was a weapons instructor. It was called Combat Arms Training and Maintenance, CATM. And I was a firearms expert, meaning I could shoot at the expert level for the Air Force. And I trained people every day how to shoot guns. And then when I got out and went to a civilian police department, I was told that I wasn't doing it the best way. And I listened and I got better. And then I went to a new police department and eventually joined the SWAT team. And I had someone with a lot of experience look at me and say, hey, there's a better way of doing that. And I listened and I got better. So in the profession, it's pretty easy for me to do that. It hasn't always been easy for me in relationships to do that, though.
What? What do you mean?
I don't know why. I think in our professions, there is natural built-in trainers, and this may not be for all professions, but for hopefully a lot, there's natural training and mentors, people that outrank you. There's, at least in the first responder military world, you have ongoing training. And so you have people that you know more than you come in and give you information, and hopefully you have a humble spirit and you listen to it. The problem is in our family life, we don't have that. I mean, we have parents, we have older friends that are a generation before us, but it's not like we have monthly training or quarterly training that they come in and they watch what we're doing and they give us coaching and counseling.
There's an example about 10 years ago, even still, I'm a little bit of an emotion stuffer. And so I don't say what I need to say. And so that's totally on me. But I remember being on this awful date with Chris. And I believe his mom was watching our kids. And it was the worst date. I don't even know what we were not happy with each other about. But finally, I said what I needed to say. And it was that he was not easy to talk to. And in raised tones, he goes, what do you mean I'm not easy to talk to? And I was like this. This is what I mean.
Jury, here is evidence A to be presented. Chris's response to me right now. Yeah, so it's this constant process for Jamie and I where we want to get better at this. Like, I want to sit with this girl on a porch, like the countryside, like think of Yellowstone. That's what I want. Just like this beautiful landscape in front of us, whether this be vacation or our home.
I don't want the troubles of Yellowstone, though, to be clear.
I don't want to have to take people to the train station. Now, let me make this clear. I'm willing to take people to the train station. I don't have a train station here. But anyhow, I'm sorry. We're digressing. The point is I want to be with this woman for a very long time, and I want to enjoy it. I want to enjoy it. And the only way I know to enjoy it is to work through the conflict. And at the foundation, like Jamie said, foundation, I think, of all of life is the way we talk and the way we listen to each other. So yeah, like James said, we're going to get into a, I don't even want to call it a miscommunication, but just get into an event within the last month or two where we had the opportunity to apply a new approach to communication, and we want to share with you how it turned out.
So to set the scene, this was a night when we were going to the department to clean out Chris's office, and I hadn't been to the department since retirement had been announced.
I don't think you'd been there since I stopped working either.
True. So since June, at least, yeah. I hadn't been there. And I was pretty raw emotionally with everything we had walked through. We were cleaning up the office, taking trips out. And on one of the trips out, we saw someone who said some really kind things.
I don't remember who it was or what they said. Did they just say?
They were talking about how much you meant and how great of impact you had had on the department and how big of a void there would be.
I think I remember now, yes. And I think they went and hugged Jamie, which caused waterworks to happen. Yes, I do remember that now. That was special. Yeah. So that was the beginning of the night, correct?
Yeah.
And then I think we're still talking about the same thing we planned to talk about. So then we come home, and as we come home, we're getting ready for bed. And Jamie shares with me something that happened at work for her.
We were in groups, and someone at work asked about you. Innocent question. And I couldn't not cry.
What was the context of what they asked? Do you remember?
I think it was just, how are you doing? And what do you plan to do next?
What does Chris plan to do next? Exactly. Yeah. And Jamie said that when this coworker asked her this, she has started crying. Now, again, just to give context, over the history of our marriage, Jamie doesn't cry. As she said, her personality is she is a stuffer. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it definitely has consequences. But just to be clear, there are some personalities that is natural for you to stuff stuff down. And I think there's times in life, I know there's times in life, from being a first responder, from being in the military, that you need to stuff in the moment. You need to continue on in the mission. You need to focus on preserving life and achieving your objective. And then after that, that's where we need to deal with whatever it was that we had to stuff. So, Jamie hasn't cried traditionally in our marriage. If anyone was shedding a tear, it was me right here. And so Jamie's response of being moved to emotion when her coworker asked this was common in this season of life that we're currently in, but not common to the previous 24 years of our marriage. So Jamie shares this with me, and what I hear, now again, Jamie just shared what she said, and she is correct. That is what the words that came out of her mouth. What I heard was, Jamie is scared about what I have moving forward. Jamie is scared that I'm using my private business, Gravity Consulting and Training, to teach leadership to first responder organizations, private business community. Jamie is scared of the uncertainty of that. Jamie is scared that if I can't generate enough business, then we will lose the house. We will have to sell the house and move into something smaller, move into an RV. Jamie's scared of these things. And we had talked about all that previously, and Jamie said, previously, it said, you know, I don't care. Like, I don't care about the stuff. I care about you. And so what I'm hearing in this conversation is, Chris, you're a loser. Not that Jamie's saying that. This is my own personal narrative now. Chris, you're a loser. You need to step up and start being a real man and support your family.
Totally not what I was trying to communicate. And I understand that's what he heard. So this conflict, we had to deconstruct.
And I don't even think we dealt with it that night.
We didn't.
I think there was a short conversation of, hey, I'm good with you, I'm good with you, but I don't want to talk about this right now. Maybe I said that. And previously, I don't think we would have advocated for that in marriage. There's scripture in the Bible that says, don't let the sun set on a conflict. And I think there's some wisdom there. And if you know that right now you're not in a good emotional spot to have that conversation, you need to delay it on purpose. And hopefully that's a spoken thing. Hey, I'm not in a good spot right now. I don't think talking about this right now is going to be beneficial to us. Can we postpone this conversation until tomorrow morning or until tomorrow evening or whenever we know we're going to be able to have it? So that's what we did.
And I don't think that it resolved as quickly as I would have liked, because I'm pretty sure I had to work the next day and we had plans the next night. So I didn't see a place for this to resolve quickly. And I tried, while Chris was cooking dinner, to have this conversation, and it didn't go great. We didn't set it up for success. I didn't.
I don't remember that either. But I believe what she just said is true. I do remember when we finally carved out the time and had the space away from our kids, away from interruptions, to really have a great conversation about this. And this came from a friend of ours that's ahead of us in marriage, that's ahead of us in parenting, 44-year retired firefighter who gave us a tool that he said had worked in his marriage. And really, you're going to hear this and you're going to be like, oh, I've heard of that before, because it's really not that uncommon. It's just not one that we were using. And if you think back, what book was it where you had to have the conch to speak? Was that Hatchet?
No, it was where all these boys were abandoned on an island. Lord of the Flies.
Okay. So in that book, there's this seashell, this conch, and they agreed the rules were if you didn't hold the conch, you weren't allowed to speak. And that's really all we did here without having a physical implement was one person talks and the other person's only job is to actively listen, demonstrate empathy, and really make sure that they're hearing accurately what the other person is saying.
I feel like a lot of times we listen to respond. And so with this tool, we're listening to understand, not respond.
And then I think even more than that is in conflict, not only are you listening to respond, but I think you're listening to win. We're in a conflict. I want to win. And we've talked about this as well. I don't know if it was episode 5 or not, but I know it wasn't episode 5. We talked about same team. In marriage, you're on the same team with your spouse. You never want your spouse to lose. You never want your spouse to lose. If your spouse loses, you lose. So you want to try to work through conflict so that you both win. And when you fully understand each other, I would argue that that's getting pretty darn close to a both win thing. So we carved out the time. We found the space. And we went into this identifying who was going to start speaking. And I don't remember if it was you or me.
I think you started.
Okay. So in this, I was like, much like I already said, I communicated to her, hey, you said that when one of your coworkers asked about what was going on in this next season for me in this retirement, you cried. That tells me you're afraid. That tells me I'm failing as a man, that I'm the problem. My actions are creating fear within you, and I need to get off my lazy butt and go out and get a normal job. I doubt those were the exact words I said, but that was kind of the heart of where I was at with what I heard her say. And then her job right now is to
empathize with what he said. So I said something to the effect of, that sounds really hard to hear what you heard, and I'm really sorry that was what I communicated to you.
Sometimes you can parrot it back some of what they said. Again, especially if you're not totally certain. It's just good in general. Be like, so what I heard you say was, when I said this, when when I said that a coworker asked about your retirement and I said, and I cried, that made you feel like you were failing as a man. That made you feel like I wanted you to go back to work and get a 40-hour a week job. And when she communicates it like that, I'm like, that's exactly what was going on in my mind. Or if she doesn't hit the mark, I can say, no, and that's not quite it. And I can add more information for her. But after she totally knows that day, after she knew that the message that I was trying to communicate, that she understood it, she empathized, she expressed some kind of emotion that I might be feeling. And again, she hit the mark on that as well. And then she asked the core question.
Do you want to say anything else?
Bottom line, yeah. Do I have something more to say? Is there something more here for me to say? And I love that question because I think oftentimes in an argument, in conflict with our spouses, if I'm talking right now, I need to say it all. Like, I need to get it all out. So I'm going to list all 19 of my points of why I'm right and why I need to win this conflict. Where in this scenario with this tool that our friend gave us, instead, I don't have to do that because I know I have the conch. I know it's my turn to talk and it's Jamie's turn to listen. And I know that she's going to ask me, do you have anything else? So I don't have to say it all. I can just say one thing that I felt that day or one thing that was going through my mind. And I know she's going to do her job of listening. And then she's going to ask me, is there anything else? And I can keep talking. Or a lot of times, I've already said what I had to say. And so I'll say, no, there's nothing else.
And so then it is my turn to express what I had meant and what I was feeling at that time. And I think I said something to the effect of, I fully support us moving, us selling, us making whatever adjustments we need to make us work. And these things are scary to me. What I heard Chris doing was saying, I couldn't have one without the other. If you are fearful, you also think I'm a loser. If you are fearful, you don't mean that we can sell everything. And so when I could express to him, I will do whatever necessary, and it scares me, I think it helped him understand where I was at. So when I was done talking, then what did you do?
That created the opportunity for me to say, okay, so you have these different parts in you, and one of these parts is comfortable with us doing whatever we need to do so for my brain to heal from PTSD, and that includes selling the house, and it also scares you, the uncertainty of the future. And she was able to say yes. And then I said, that sounds really scary, and I understand how you could have these different parts of you. Deer Hollow really helped me with that. Going to the recovery center that I went to really helped me in acknowledging that, hey, sometimes we have these different parts within us that feel differently. And I think previously in conflict, especially in marriage, if you acknowledge, like for Jamie to say, I fully support you, and then be like, but I'm scared, the scared somehow invalidated the other feelings. And like in a fight, you're like, ah, see, you're a liar. You told me you were supportive, but now you're not. It's like, whoa, hold on. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I want Mexican and sometimes I want a steak. Well, what is that within you that sometimes wants two different types of food for dinner? And we can acknowledge that we have that dichotomy, but then we can't have a dichotomy of fully supporting me and healing my brain and then maybe selling everything and also being scared. Like, both dichotomies can exist. And so, yeah, I listened to Jamie. I expressed the feeling that I thought she felt, which was fear. And then I was able to say, do you have anything else that you want to say?
And I don't think I had anything more. I think I had said what I needed to say. And I am one of those like processing people that in order for me to analyze why he was reacting the way I was, or he was, to what I was saying, I had to really like think through it. Okay, he's thinking I can't have one feeling without the other. That's what I was observing. It took me a while to be able to bring that to him and put it in front of him.
Yeah. And using this tool of, hey, there's one talker and one listener, and you're supposed to do certain things. You're supposed to recommunicate what you just heard. You're supposed to empathize by identifying what emotion you think your partner is feeling or felt when that happened. And then asking the question, is there anything else? It felt really awkward at first, didn't it?
It felt clunky and mechanical. It worked.
I smiled sometimes, like in not appropriate times, because I felt uncomfortable using this awkward tool instead of us just talking. And so I would like start to smile. I'm like, Chris, don't be smiling right now. Wrong time to smile. But it was a stress response within me that I was smiling because this was awkward and it was clunky. And we've been married almost 25 years or over 25 years. So why do I need to use this?
A stress response within myself that I had never experienced before, but have now in the last 6 months with what we've walked through, was I felt like my throat was closing when I went to have these conversations with Chris. Either my throat would burn or literally like it would start tightening up, and I can't explain it other than it was my body trying to get me to stop talking.
Yeah.
And it felt scary.
And I could empathize with that from my own experience, because one of my, I don't know whether you want to call it a post-traumatic stress response or symptom, was feeling like I couldn't breathe. And I could breathe, but just having labored breathing, if you will, restricted breathing within my throat. So I don't know, Jane, we've done this now a dozen times. I don't know if that's the exact number, but we've done it a number of times. And what are your thoughts with using this kind of this structured tool in communicating with each other?
I think it's super helpful knowing as we go into it that this is going to be an important conversation, because mindset wise, I can set myself up for, okay, this, whatever it is, might be kind of tough, and I'm just going to work the formula through and be a part of the progress here. So I think partially it helps because of the mindset I take ahead of time of, this could be difficult to hear and do, but we're committing to do this together. So I like that.
And come up with a name for it, because like you don't need to have this structured. You probably don't need to have the structured conversation for the what's for dinner conversation, right? I mean, Jamie and I don't use this all the time. In fact, we usually don't use this. We usually just have a very relaxed, casual conversation. But when the stakes are high, when we have differing opinions, when there's emotions involved, and or if we're just having any amount of conflict about whatever decision's being made, sometimes we'll ask each other if we could have this type of conversation. So having a name for it, you can create your own name. You could call it the Conch Conversation. You could call it the Marriage Monday Conversation. We're not trademarking it, folks. The organization that created this, and I don't even know if we can like use their name or anything like that, so I'm not going to say it. But bottom line is they have a name for it. And so Jamie and I kind of use that name with, hey, can we have one of these type of conversations? And then we know that this is going to be a structured conversation. And it's powerful because we have the common language, much like I had in the first responder military world. Now I knew exactly what was going on. And I also understood my role. I understood my role, whether I was the speaker or whether I was the listener. I knew what my job was in that moment. I think that's everything. Down in the show notes, we're going to just list out these bullet points, folks. We're going to list out the bullet points of how you can have this type of conversation with your spouse. And it's going to be clunky and it's going to be awkward. But if it's like us, you're going to have some good success with it.
So the call to action today is to try something new as you seek to understand the person who means the world to you. Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Marriage Mondays.
We want to hear from you. How are we doing here on the podcast, folks? There's different ways for you to communicate back to us. First and foremost, please follow us on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That will cause the next episode to come up in your dashboard. You can also rate and review us on Spotify and Apple. There's 5 stars waiting on our main page. We'd really appreciate a 5-star rating if we've earned 5 stars, folks. If we haven't, keep your stars. Shoot us an email at chris@gravityct.com. Let us know how to make a better future, Marriage Monday topics, or guests for me to interview.
Remember, friends, getting married is easy. Staying married is real tough. So go and love well.